It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
This is Davin's Den.
And we are back. Thank you for hanging out with us, listening or watching, I guess. Davin's Den. So this was actually a fairly lengthy article, but I kind of abbreviated it. Did you read the whole article?
I did, and then I, to be honest, I found myself kind of glazing over a little bit towards the end because it was so dense with information. I was like, uh-oh.
Too many words! Too many thoughts! All right.
Too much words and things and thoughts!
That was why I had reservations about even doing it. But I'm like, all right, let me just cut out a lot of stuff.
Story we're doing?
What?
Yeah.
What story we're doing? Yeah, because there's a story, and then it goes into another story.
Yeah.
Like a movie.
A movie and a sequel. So I all right. Well, hopefully we can convey it. Hopefully I took out the right parts and left in the right ones, and hopefully we can have a conversation. Because it's very interesting, and I was completely unaware that this was going on. I don't think any of us were aware. The Department of Homeland Security launched a failed operation that ensnared hundreds, if not thousands, of U.S. protesters in what new documents show was a sweeping power-hungry effort before the 2020 election to bolster President Donald Trump's spurious – all right, there's some opinions – claims about the about a terrorist organization he accused his Democratic rivals of supporting. An internal investigative report made public this month by Senator Ron Wyden, a Democrat of Oregon, details the findings of DHS lawyers concerning a previously undisclosed effort by Trump's acting Secretary of Homeland Security, Chad Wolf, to amass secret dossiers – on Americans in Portland attending anti-racism protests in summer 2020 sparked by the police murder of Minneapolis father George Floyd. The report describes attempts by top officials to link protesters to an imaginary terrorist plot in an apparent effort to boost Trump's reelection odds, raising concerns now about the ability of a sitting president to co-opt billions of dollars worth of domestic intelligence assets for their own political gain. DHS analysts recounted orders to generate evidence of financial ties between protesters in custody, an effort that had they not failed, would seemingly serve to legitimize President Trump's false claims about Antifa, an organization that even his most loyal intelligence officers failed to drum up proof ever existed. We had that conversation. It's Antifa. Yeah, but they're not really associated with anything. It's a bunch of derelicts in each town. No, it's Antifa, an organization. Apparently, that's what this is about.
Right.
The report.
They're in the same category as the Proud Boys, but it's, you know, the Proud Boys looked at differently.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if anybody called Antifa racist and white supremacist.
Yeah.
Anyway,
the Proud Boys aren't racist.
Okay. We're not going into that. I know your pal's pal started that, but I think even he's persona non grata now. The Proud Boys are definitely racist. But anyway, that's not about this. That's neither here nor there. It's another conversation for another day. The report describes the dossiers generated by DHS as having detailed the past whereabouts about the friends and followers of the subjects as well as their interests, up to and including First Amendment speech activity. Intelligence analysts had internally raised concerns about the decision to accuse anyone caught in the streets by default of being an anarchist extremist, specifically because sufficient facts were never found to support such a character's racism. So basically, anybody they drummed up, they want to call anarchist extremists. Even if they were just peacefully protesting and they had no proof of anarchist extremists, you're out on the streets, you're an anarchist extremist. That's what they wanted to go with. The analysts were never provided arrest affidavits or paperwork, a witness told investigators, adding that they just worked off the assumption that everyone on the list was arrested. So you might be getting a frappuccino, and you were on the street, and they had you on here. Lawyers who reviewed 43 of the dossiers found it concerning. The reports say that 13 of them stemmed from nonviolent acts. A footnote in that report states that at least one witness told investigators that dossiers had been requested on people who were not arrested but merely accused of threats. Another, citing emails exchanged between top intelligence officials, states dossiers were created on persons arrested having nothing to do with Homeland Security or threats to officers. So you're arrested. It has nothing to do with a threat to the state, the country, federal buildings. They just want to lump you in with this. The agency's chief intelligence officer acknowledged fielding requests by Wolf and his acting deputy, Ken Cuccinelli, to create dossiers against everyone participating in Portland protests. By the way, you are allowed to peacefully protest in this country, regardless of whether they've been accused of any crime, the report says. That officer, Brian Murphy, then the head of the agency's Officer of Intelligence and Analysts, I&A, told interviewers that he'd rejected the idea, informing his bosses that he could only look at people who were arrested, and adding that it was something his office had done thousands of times before. The DHS report, finalized more than a year ago, includes descriptions of orders handed down to senior leadership instructing them to broadly apply the label violent Antifa anarchists inspired to Portland protesters unless they had intel showing something different. So you're automatically this unless we can prove you're not. So you're guilty until you're innocent, which is, again, not the way our country works. Efforts to drum up evidence to support the administration's claim that a larger network was directing or financing the protesters, a task assigned to another unit known as the Homeland Identities Targeting and Exploitation Center, diverted away from its usual work of analyzing national security threats, did not find any evidence that the assertion was true, the report says. Police would eventually rack up an unprecedented 6,000 documented use of force cases against the demonstrators, who in turn reportedly inflicted more than $2.3 million in damage to federal buildings. Police ran off legal observers and physically beat journalists who suffered injuries at the hands of federal agents armed with crowd control weapons as well. In response to the bad press, Justice Department lawyers filed a successful motion in court giving police the power to force reporters off the street. Again, that's one of the strengths of our democracy, is that the reporters can be on the street reporting what they see, whether it's good for you or bad for you. Reports began surfacing, meanwhile, of protesters being abducted near demonstrations by men jumping out of unmarked vans in military fatigues. After a week, widely circulated footage confirmed that the accounts of DHS acknowledged the abductions, as well as the fact that agents had taken intentional steps to ensure their identities remain secret. All right, before we get into this, because we don't all root for the same political team here, I would encourage everybody to imagine if it was being done by the team that you don't like. Let's take it for, so in Joe's case, let's.
Oh, it is. January 6th. You know, they're almost doing the same thing for January 6th.
I don't recall anybody being rounded up on January 6th. You have to watch January 6th.
I do see people that are in pictures that get indicted. I do see people that...
That's legal. You're allowed to indict them.
Insurrection, but it's not an insurrection.
Actually, hold on. January 6th didn't indict anybody. They don't have the power to indict. I don't know what you're talking about.
What are you... Didn't Kevin Downey Jr.? Kevin Downey Jr. is one of them. Talk to him about it.
Wait, what? I mean, that's not the January 6th Commission. That's the Department of Justice.
But still.
Not still. Two different things.
But I'm talking about January 6th today, not the Commission. Okay? Where they're doing, in some cases, they're doing the same thing. So both sides do it. I'm not saying each side is right. But it's just, and I'm also saying that it's for them to catch it and bring it to the forefront the way they did. This story is still kind of good, that even though, you know, the Trump administration was wrong to do that, there still are checks and balances on this.
Well, yeah, but, well, so here's the argument for the Republicans taking over Congress, because right now we don't have a check on the Biden administration. So the argument for the Republicans taking over Congress is, well, all right, good, we'll finally have some oversight of the Biden administration. Which I support. Now, unfortunately, they're going to abuse the hell out of it and go down every stupid rabbit hole instead of, like, oversight on, like, important things, which would actually be doing their job and helping the country. But we know they're not going to do that. But theoretically, it would be a good thing. Again, the whole thing with the Hunter Biden, and then I want to get back to this. If you can show there are ties to how it affects Joe Biden's presidency, I am all for it. Let's get that in the open, because I don't like it. I didn't like when Trump's family was doing shit with the power, and I certainly don't want Biden's family doing shit with the power. But if we're not examining that, if we're just examining, wow, he's on coke and he likes hookers and all that sort of, you know what? That could be a penthouse forum letter. I don't need Congress writing it. So, but that's not what we're gonna get, unfortunately. But that's neither here nor there. Okay, let's get into this. I was surprised by the report. Now, I remember the reports of people being rounded up by unmarked people in vans, which scared the shit out of me, because that happens in other countries, not here. But I was surprised by the depth of this. Are you guys surprised by this, or is this just me?
No. Okay. No, it doesn't surprise me in the least, because both parties do things for their benefit.
Yeah, but this is yes, they do. But this is violating constitutional rights. I am unaware, and this might be my naivete. I am unaware of something where a government agency has been co-opted in such a way. Now, you know what? Black people might say, well, the FBI and Martin Luther King Jr. and how they were spying on people. So they might have a point there. They might have a point there. But there's a point there. I guess I was naive. You know what? I was just naive. And it scares the shit.
I'm not trying to, you know, be a dick when I say this. You probably are naive on that. However, like I was saying before, when they're coming up and going, well, we want dossiers, but we're going to do it with people that have been arrested. And then with the people that have been arrested, we'll look in and see what crimes, if they're serious enough. But we're not going to just do it because people are ambiguously walking at this protest. It goes both ways, whether it's a MAGA protest, if it's a Black Lives Matter protest. You know, you have the right to protest. And if a political party is just singling people out that just simply were there and just to make political gains, that's the problem. And at least there was an agency there that said, no, we'll look at it.
What this was, as it seems to me, is there was a whistleblower, because this started with leaked emails. And we sure know how whistleblowers were blown apart in the Trump administration by people who used to, like, defend whistleblowers. Whistleblowers, yeah. I like whistleblowers. If it reveals corruption in the Biden administration, so be it. If it reveals
like you were saying, there was a whistleblower, but in the whistleblower's detail of what he is saying, there was another agency that said, you know, this is what happened. And in this is what happened, another agency said, no, we're not going to, if they weren't arrested, we're not going to pursue this unless they were arrested. And we're going to look at what they were arrested for. Then we'll take a look at it. But for just being there, no. So even though it was a whistleblower, this was the story of the whistleblower, and there was actually a check and balance in there.
Well, I think this reveals how easily our freedoms, which we all enjoy, can be taken away by an executive who has control of law enforcement on a whim. I mean, again, I'm naive. Apparently, I won't be after this. But that's really scary. I mean, if you think about the whole Constitution, our government is set up on people acting in good faith. And that's what we had, whether it be left, right, or center, all these years. This is clearly on bad faith because it's for an election. I mean, forget about all the abuses of power that we've seen throughout history. This is about an election.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, but we also know that our country does not operate using the principles that they espouse. We know that there are black ops forces. We know that there has been many cases of our own government spying on citizens covertly. We know that the government sometimes is using their own agencies to work against citizens. So I'm not surprised by this. It brings it to the forefront and it like restartles me, but I'm not.
All right. Let me rephrase it. How about the fact that this isn't a bigger story?
Yeah, it should be blowing shit up.
How are people not getting asked about this? How is this not during the election, this past election, how is this not brought up?
I think it's happened so much during the history of the country. I mean, the McCarthy hearings are an example of that. People's livelihoods being killed by being assumed. So I think it's just, you know, it's a knowledge that people have, especially with the party. I mean, you know, and there were some stories that I don't like. For example, on page 839 of Newsday on Friday was a story about we're going to have a diesel fuel crisis, which is going to be a major issue and could cause a depression. So if it's not in the narrative of where a paper wants to put something, that's why it's going to be back there, you know? Well, yeah, yeah. Like I said, this has been going on. This has been going on for years and years and years. Is it right? No. Thank God there was a check, you know.
This is why you need divided government, and this is why you need two parties that actually want to govern. Like I said, if I didn't think the Republicans were going to be completely batshit because they have to pay attention to the Marjorie Taylor Greens of the world, a divided Senate and Congress would not be a bad thing, you know, because I don't want corruption and oversight. But I know they're not. I know they're going to do, oh, we're going to impeach him, what, over Afghanistan because of a botched military operation? It's not, whatever. Okay, good. So, all right, so you guys were a little bit more aware of this than I was. We all find it disturbing.
With impeachment, and that's another thing that's got to stop. And like I said, the Republicans, of that Afghanistan, that remains to be determined. But, you know, also we were in this impeachment phase that, you know, with everything that Trump did, they want to impeach him and stuff like that. Now they're going to get revenge on that. It's almost like when we were kids and you're going to go, you stepped on my property, I'm going to sue you. You're by my tree, I'm going to sue you. I mean, it gets to the point where it doesn't even, it takes the bite out of being sued.
I will tell you, I had a lot to lose as a child getting sued. I had almost all the Star Wars figures, almost all the G.I. Joes. I had more plastic guns than anybody else in the neighborhood. I stood a lot to lose.
Oh, yeah. Well, my buddy Owen, him and I reconnected. Really, really good guy. I haven't seen him in 40 years. We haven't hung out. But we were talking about the old days, and I go, how much litigation did you and I do to each other? $5,000, depending on litigation. The oak tree, my army man.
All right, let's do some School of Fools here. It's about another person being put on another school board.
From the Olympia School District in Washington State are speaking out after an anti-police activist, Jaluna Reed, was appointed as a school board director. This just days after Reed was sworn in, videos of her anti-police statements beginning to circulate online. Take a look at this.
The police, man. The police, and they don't pay attention until we tear up. So just see, before I get started, tear everything up in the city until they do what we want them to do.
A parent from that district, Alicia Perkins, is outraged, and she joins me now. Alicia, how is someone like that put in a position of power over our children?
Well, that's the question, and that is why there are so many of us up in arms over this. In addition to that video, Ms. Reed has been shown to have an extensive criminal record that should have immediately excluded her from this position. So it's really a question as to how this could happen.
There's a series of guilty pleas to a number of charges spread out over a number of years. There are also a number of other charges that she did not plead guilty to but are still outstanding. To make matters worse, Reed also taking it a step further, calling cops, and I quote, pigs. Watch this.
It amazes me how those pigs can sit over there to watch us peacefully talk about what we want changed in this state. It amazes me.
Alicia, the people that are in positions of power should reflect the communities that they are in power over. Is that a belief that a lot of parents in Olympia have, that police are pigs?
Absolutely not. And I think a larger issue here, setting Ms. Reed aside, is that we clearly have a school board that was bound and determined to place her in this position. And they have proven themselves incapable of making reasonable decisions. I've also been made aware that no staff, no district employees, no union members, no one was asked for input on this. The community obviously was not allowed to vote for a position that usually is elected. So it appears that our board was so ideologically driven, perhaps, that they were determined at all costs to have Ms. Reed appointed.
Well, the district apparently doesn't care what you think. They defended their choice of Reed's appointment as follows. Quote, during the interview process, she showed herself to be a committed and thoughtful advocate for the students of our school district. We look forward to working with her to address pressing equity and inclusion issues in our school district. We believe she'll be an important voice and partner moving forward. Was Ms. Reed the best person that your town, your city could find for this job?
I can't imagine that any reasonable person would think that. This is just completely baffling. Nobody can understand what's happened here. And it's, you know, it's quite frankly really made a laughing stock of our school board, which is really unfortunate. It's unfortunate for our community.
All right, real quick before we get into the meat of this. That parent, in my opinion, comes off really well. That Fox News host, such a douche. Such a douche. Equity and inclusion? Really, dude? Come on, man. Like out of all the shit you can pick up, is that the best your town can find? Dude, just fucking ask the nice lady questions. She's gonna make you look much better than you're making yourself. Okay. Am I alone in that?
No.
Okay. Okay. All right. Good job by that parent. First of all, wow. It's like, all right. In my opinion, tearing down the city—that's enough to disqualify you right there. Can't have you on the school board if you want to tear down the city, because you know what's in the city—the fucking school. Statements about the police being pigs. Listen, we just did a story where a lot of the police were bad guys. Still, can't have you on the school board if you're saying don't respect the police because the police are authorities. And you know what? With this crazy ass country we have, we need them around the schools and in the schools to keep everybody safe.
Yeah. I can't believe the way the school just still double down. And so, no, she's with us. But where you can't even say one thing where you could lose your job, you know, in a student says something or a parent, where they lose your job, look into it. And this woman says something, and not only you don't let it go, you bring her on the school board. It's unacceptable. And it's very hypocritical of them because, you know, it's a liberal Democrat school board.
Well, it would appear to be so. Guilty convictions. Again, I'm going to have to say, I don't really need you on our school board if you have guilty convictions. That doesn't mean you can't have a job. That doesn't mean you didn't pay your debt to society. I'm just saying, you know, the school board might not be the place I want you. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we fight hard about the First Amendment and your right to say things, but play stupid games, win stupid prizes. If you want to be on the school board, maybe you shouldn't be calling cops pigs in a public demonstration.
On a microphone.
There was a way for her to voice her opinion, you know, ethically, decently, not, you know, and maybe they still wouldn't want her if it was, like, not such a very liberal
Listen, if she said, listen, we have a problem with policing and how they use their authority in this town. Okay. All right, that's an opinion. You're being respectful. You want to solve that. In my opinion, that does not disqualify you from the school board. But when you are reduced to calling them pigs, is that the best we got? Is that
No. You were right. It's saying if you had something, you know, I feel that, you know, there are some policies with the police that need to change. And that's your opinion. But when you say, you know, calling them pigs and stuff like that, now you're calling them a name, a derogatory name. And, you know, it's like calling her the N-word. It's a derogatory term, and you
should
pay the price for it.
I don't know
why
they put her on. I don't know how. I guess they can. Well, we know why she wasn't put up for an election. We know that, but it's kind of like the guy we covered last week who's running unopposed. Is this really, you know, who was making fun of the Pelosi attack? Is this really what we want on the school boards? I mean, and Joe alludes to this. How are you going to discipline the teachers, let alone the kids, when this is the school board? I mean, jeez.
Right. Yeah.
This is the best we've got?
Apparently, yes. Yeah. Apparently, yes.
Yeah.
Well, you know what it is? A lot of times, it's a thankless job. It's very. It's been politicized. Apparently, this was politicized. So, I mean, you know, it used to be the school board wasn't political. You know, it was people, you know, what can we do the best for our kids? And, you know, there was different ideas on what to do the best with the kids. But that's what it is. But now it's, it's too woke. It's not woke enough. It's this, it's that. Yeah, everybody's got an agenda. And the kids are never really the focus of that agenda. It's always like something bigger than just say, hey, what? How can we have the best school?
It's like everybody's got their own agenda, and in this story, the kids aren't even part of the equation. It's like with politics now. The people of the country are not even in the equation.
I think that's true.
There have always been divisions at school boards, you know, because, you know, and maybe we kid ourselves to think that they're a little bit more high-minded. No, they're just people, and because the political discourse in this country is so fraught, it's in every committee, every agency, it's everywhere now. So we really shouldn't be surprised. It's just disappointing that, you know, there wasn't more of a say in whether this woman should be part of, you know, representing the school and what their philosophy is and how they want to teach kids going forward. Hopefully there's not going to be a lesson where the school board sits in on, you know, how to properly express yourself when you're trying to, you know, have at a rally, or you're trying to be against something. Couldn't you find a better way to express yourself?
Well, and we'll move on. It's like, I don't know the woman who was interviewed politics, but she was pretty good at expressing her point of view without being a twat waffle. Yeah, I mean, can't we get her? Can't we get her on there? I mean, really? She, you know, and she was dealing with a really, she was dealing with an interviewer who was trying to goad her for the channel's own agenda, and she wouldn't be goaded. She's like, no, this is the problem. She's this, that, the other thing, and we don't think it's right. And she didn't take the bait. I'll take this woman again. I don't know her politics, but she seemed very composed and was able to express herself in a professional way. Sign me up for that. Sign me up for more of that, please. All right. So this was my blog of the week. Another disturbing story. more shit I didn't know. More shit I did not know. This was a very...
What's the pearls?
We haven't really had like a dense show like this in a little while, but there was just so many like interesting things that I thought were worth discussing this week. I mean, there's some weeks I go back up, there's nothing going on. There's literally nothing going on in the world. But this week I'm like, holy shit! Holy shit!
Don't put with like a fucking Regents final this week.
It was, but they were interesting stories and important stories.
Yeah, it was good.
Former President Donald Trump urged the District of Columbia's highest local court to adopt his argument that he was acting in the interest of the American people when he made allegedly defamatory remarks while denying a rape claim by New York author E. Jean Carroll. Trump's comment, not my type. Trump's comments, including his claim that Carol fabricated the assault in order to sell a book and that she'd made this change against others, made these charges against others, are protected under federal law because he was acting within the scope of his employment, his lawyer, Alina Haba, said. Alina Haba, who's married to Jimmy Nagila, said in a filing on Wednesday. They're the Haba Nagilas. I made a funny. More than any other public official, the president is expected to respond to questions from the media that affect his ability to maintain the trust of the American people, Haba said in the filing. Responding to accusations involving personal matters that may affect his ability to perform his job duties is clearly within the scope of such employment. The case is moving toward a possible trial, even as Trump, who was deposed last month, weighs a second run for the White House in 2024. The D.C. Court of Appeals, which agreed to expedite its narrow role in the case, will hold oral arguments on the matter on January 10th. Carroll's lawyer, Roberta Kaplan, it's a Jewish name, stupid. Roberta Kaplan declined to comment on Trump's briefs. Ha! They look a little stained. he says he can guarantee there's no problem down there. I'm not sure he can back up that guarantee, said the lawyer, Roberta Kaplan.
It's like when the old always on a note. Now time for a news brief. The guy holds a pair of underwear. Today in Lebanon.
They're investigating the White House. The fly was left open. The Biden administration has
determined that the president said.
Yes. Here's a fun tidbit, kids. The Biden administration has sided with Trump on the case. Ugh. On Wednesday, the Justice Department said in a brief, but not boxers, with the court that similar cases back Trump's argument that his comments were made in official capacity. Because our guy's going to say some stupid shit, too. The court should hold that an elected federal official's scope of employment includes communicating with the press and constituents on matters of public concern, including allegations bearing on the official's fitness for public office. The question of whether Trump's comments qualified as a government duty was referred to the D.C. court by the Federal Appeals Court in Manhattan. The court sided with Trump on another key. Trump has been kicking ass in court lately. Key question. Whether a president qualifies as a government employee under the Westfall Act, a federal law that protects U.S. government workers from civil suits related to their jobs. If Carroll prevails in D.C., the case will proceed to a trial in federal court in Manhattan. Trump has strenuously denied Carroll's claim that he raped her more than 2 decades ago in a department store dressing room in Manhattan. The argument that Trump's remarks about Carroll were motivated by self-interest or malice is inconsequential, Habba said, because Trump was doing his job. In her Wednesday brief, you know, you need different briefs every day. Habba asked, asked the appeals court to adopt a precedent set by a 2003 suit against the late North Carolina Congressman Cass Ballinger over comments he made to a reporter comparing a Muslim nonprofit to the fundraising arm of a terrorist group. In that case, the court held that Ballinger was protected by the Westfall Act and that his comments qualified as official duties. Habba argues Trump's case is no different. All right, so basically what they're saying is, what the courts are saying, what Trump's lawyer is saying, and what the Department of Justice is arguing is, hey, you know what? If in the course of business a president defames a private citizen, so be it. He's just maintaining the trust of the people. You have no recourse. What? Listen, I don't know much about history. I know even less about her story. But I do know this. Our founding fathers did not want a monarch. They did not want somebody who was above the law. They were very distrustful of centralized government, which is why they had three branches of government. And I can't imagine the founding fathers would want a president, a monarch, being able to get away with this shit. Because maintain the trust. You want to maintain the trust? Don't be accused of rape. Don't be Rapey McRaperson.
They were, because back then they were screwing their slaves. Fucking Franklin jumps on a ship, goes across the Atlantic to screw French whores. I think they wanted to tamp that shit down, so I think that they would want that.
You think? All right.
You think?
Require boys, guys.
Here's the thing. Everything gets out these days. If you're gonna lie, it doesn't matter who the politician is. Everything gets out. You want to maintain the trust? Don't fucking lie. You know, and Trump didn't have to go this far, because I remember he said, oh, she's not my type. I would all this, that, the all that. All he had two options. No comment, the first option, or I will be vindicated in the courts. I have nothing more to say. That's it. That's all he had to say. And if they continue to ask questions like the presses want to do, he could turn around and walk back into the White House.
Any instances which is probably in the thousands where anything with Trump is, that's all he had to say.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
You're not going to get that. And I mean, this woman seems like she's coming out of the woodwork. Whether I'm not, but just the overview, it seems that she's coming out of the woodwork with these allegations, with a book out. And obviously, you know, Trump took the bait and mentioned that. Yeah, she just mentioned that she's trying to sell the book. You know.
But also, maintaining trust is out the window. The trust ship left town, and we are now replaced with partisanship. No matter who you are as president, half the country thinks you're full of shit anyway. You could be honest Abe Lincoln, they go, man, that guy's lying. I mean, that's just the way it is.
We mentioned that. I think this is the third time we did that. It's just that's what's we're so deep embedded in partisanship I don't feel it'll, at least for another re-election cycle, that maybe we'll start to see the center again. So,
well, my point in saying that is, maintain the trust of the American people. You're not going to get the trust of the vast majority of the American people, whether you deserve it or not. It's just the reality. I don't buy that.
You're going to get the trust. You're going to, because what the situation is that, look, we discuss politics on the show because that's part of what we do. We go on shows that discuss it. You know, we discuss it in the car. It's what we do. The general person really doesn't to that effect. So you're going to take, and it's like, well, who do we trust? Well, you're going to trust your candidate, and you're going to trust your cable news program, and that's the way. Republican, they're going to trust Trump, and they're going to trust Fox. If you're a Democrat, you're going to trust CNN, and you're going to trust the Biden administration. That's the way it is. There's no middle ground anymore.
If this was a real argument, why didn't Bill Clinton use this? You know, with the whole Monica Lewinsky scandal, he would have been impeached if he just would have used this as his excuse. I'm maintaining the trust. Of course I said I didn't get blown.
Yeah.
Hey, but even then, he, you know, I did not have sex with that woman. Well, it turns out you did, you know, and then it had to come clean up.
Right, but he, they didn't, his lawyers didn't even put forth this argument. You know,
he was doing it to spare the office of the presidency?
No. The argument that I had to say I didn't have sex with this woman to maintain the trust. They didn't even put that forward. Or if they did it, it wasn't successful.
Because I don't think at that time you had the internet the way it is.
Well, you didn't.
You did. Obviously, you had cable news, but you had the soundbite. You know, well, I did not have sex with that woman. That was the soundbite. But I think that with the internet and, you know, people focusing on a lot of stuff that they see, I don't think it was that prevalent back then. But it was still a big deal, you know? It still was a big deal.
Am I the only one that's disturbed that essentially, if they can make it within the course of their job, which I guess is pretty broad, they can pretty much talk shit about anybody? Is anybody else disturbed by that?
Yeah, no. I am very disturbed by that.
You like that, Joe?
No. I don't like it. I'm not disturbed by it because basically it's just been like the deep state or like this other, the other story, two stories ago. It's the way they're doing business. And they're covering their ass. And, you know, a lot of time, and that when we just, you know, when we were discussing the infrastructure bill, you know, it's like, well, there's going to be cost overruns, there's going to be this and that. But, you know, they're actually trying to progress and do something. Not that they're progressing on doing something, but there's always going to be caveats on everything the government government entity would do. This is a case of, you know, a caveat to protect the president that they use on something he says.
Listen, here's the thing.
Administration backed this up, too.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
I don't have the problem with the Trump lawyers trying to use this. Not, I don't really have a problem with the Biden lawyers trying to use this because they're trying to protect their... Well, actually, no. I do have a problem with the Department of Justice doing... I do have a problem with the Department of Justice doing this. I have a problem if the courts let them get away with this shit. That's where I have the problem. Like, I would like the courts to go, no! Of course you can't defame a private citizen in a personal matter where you're accused of rape. Let that play itself out in the courts! You have the right to remain silent, stupid.
Yeah, no, I don't think that they should be able... Just because you're the president doesn't make you above other people in the area where you're not allowed to defame people.
I don't think that makes you above that. I remember when I think it was probably in the beginning of the Trump administration, they had promised they were bringing back jobs at Carrier Manufacturing, which I think makes air conditioners. And the union leader said the jobs, it was fairly early in his presidency, the jobs never came. There was never a plan for them to come. Fine. And then Trump attacked the guy personally. I remember this. Attacked the guy personally. How is this allowed? You have the biggest microphone in the world. And that is more having to do with the job than what this is. But
you know why? Because there's such a swath of people in this country that are like, fuck your feelings.
Okay.
They don't care.
All right. You're right. I always have the four. I always say, listen, I know it's your guy doing it now, but just think, if this is allowed, the other team's guy or girl is going to do it. You're not going to like it. I say that all the time on here. It's bad.
I think they have this law where this is my interpretation, where a president has to make statements on a variety of issues throughout his tenure. And I think why they had that law in there, if he's making a comment that might seem derogatory or something just due to the situation at hand, this law protects him on that. Is it being abused? The law? Yeah, it is. It is, but I think that's why they had the law there.
I agree with you. I agree with you. The law has a purpose. It's to protect members of the federal government for being, you know, sued civilly. And the police have it too. Like, you can't sue the police, you know, if they're acting in their job, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
The law has a purpose, but I agree with you, Joe. I think in this case, it's being abused. So.
Yes. Same.
It gets reviewed. In fact, the law, you know, so. Another check and balance, you know, and it made a story. So.
Well, no, we don't have a check and balance because Biden's DOJ is like, fuck yeah.
You want to think about this. Look, regardless of what, you know, you think of Biden, Biden says a lot of stupid shit, and Biden says a lot of misguided things. So they're probably figuring, you want to know something? Well, we got to almost no Nick Snay on the butt, you know, the law in Abe, because he goes out there almost every day and puts his foot in his mouth.
Oh, yeah.
Need that law in the book.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
We'll take a pass on the whole thing with Trump to cover our ass here.
Absolutely. That's the Biden brand.
Yeah, sometimes Grandpa's wandering around and he's saying some dumb shit, but he doesn't seem cruel, and he's rarely crass. That's a big difference for me.
You know, it's like, let's say you had to defend your grandpa. You want that law in your place because if you go, you know, we never had so many colors in the neighborhood before. He's, you know, meanwhile, you got to, all right, he's just saying that another African-American family moved in, and it's nice. You know, but that's the way Grandpa says shit, you know. Don't do it.
Okay, let's move on, Joe. I think we'll move on now. Comics in the news.
And now it's time for Comics in the News.
Comedian Kathy Griffin's Twitter account was suspended Sunday, the same day she changed her page's title to Elon Musk and mocked the new CEO. It wasn't clear whether the suspension was permanent or a direct result of her mockery. It came as Musk announced that accounts that impersonate celebrities and other notables would be prohibited unless they are labeled parody. Going forward, any Twitter handles engaging in impersonation without clearly specifying parody will be permanently suspended. That was from Elon Musk on November 6th. Twitter's policy has always prohibited impersonation, but the immediate action is new. Musk would appear to be the main beneficiary of his policy. Well, he's the guy who bought it, so what do you expect? Which might seem to contradict his claim to be free speech absolution. Yeah, everybody likes free speech until somebody say nasty shit about you. Can't you lock that person up? Isn't there something? They can't get away with that. Yeah, of course. It's all relative. Examples of suspensions for impersonating other people without the parody label were few. They included a user whose page impersonated right-wing provocateur Andy NGO. Was his name? I don't know. Who appealed to Musk personally?
That was a foot race.
Who appealed to Musk personally to take action, and someone whose page impersonated actor Keanu Reeves to criticize Musk's parody policy. Here are the verified two accounts that I've seen suspended for impersonating someone other than Elon Musk. Let's see. In recent days, a wave of Twitter users changed their page's title to his and made statements intended to critique his libertarian outlook and tenure at the platform, which he controls after organizing $44 billion purchase. Not much of a negotiator, this guy. Griffin.
No.
I think Joe did better with Kia than.
Yeah, I was just gonna say that. Yeah, I know about purchases like that.
Griffin used. What the hell happened? You guys there?
Yeah.
Oh, what the hell's? Oh, my Zoom is crapping out.
Oh.
I don't know why. I'm still connect.
Yeah, you look like you froze.
No, I did freeze. I don't know. It's trying to connect.
Yeah, that's weird.
But I still have internet.
You are gone. I'm the host now. I'm in control.
Oh, you don't see me? You don't see me?
Nope.
No.
All right. Well, whatever. All right. As long as it's still up, I don't give a shit. I don't care.
And then the last thing you do, you were frozen making a face. It looks like you look like if I made a nice comment to you. It's disbelief.
Well, the last thing I saw was you guys were frozen. All right. That's fine. I don't need to dick around with it then. Because I guess it's still on.
I don't know.
I didn't lose internet this time.
Okay.
Sorry. Griffin used her Elon Musk account Sunday to urge Americans to vote for Democrats in the midterm elections Tuesday to preserve abortion rights. I've decided that voting blue for their choice is only right, she wrote as Musk. Griffin spoke. What the?
Join from browser. All right. Yeah, I'll join from the browser. Come on. What? Refresh.
What? It's every time you have an issue with it, you start with, Griffin said, join from browser.
I'm currently offline.
Like, what did she say? Right. You're like, Griffin said, what the hell?
Let me see if I can rejoin this thing.
Oh, okay. What else did Griffin say? You know, while you're frozen, there was one time many years ago that Kathy Griffin was part of a comedy show in a really small room, but it was being filmed for cable. And there was a person on the show that was okay, not quite that funny, but Kathy Griffin was killing me, and this was before she was a household name. And my friend told me, oh, I saw you on cable. And I was like, what? She goes, yeah, you were at a comedy show. So I caught an update of it, and there I was, and they edited it so that my laughs for Kathy Griffin were after this guy talking. I was so irritated.
All right. Well, Griffin said she really appreciates that, Pip.
Yes, I know she was worried about it.
Yeah, she didn't want the other guy to look bad. Anyway, so Griffin said, I've decided that voting blue for their choice is only right. Griffin spokespeople on Twitter, public relations representatives, didn't immediately respond to requests for comment. Musk has been widely criticized for a shaky start running Twitter after he criticized its content moderation and promised a new era of free speech. Some feared that former President Donald Trump banned for allegedly inciting his supporters' violent invasion of the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, would be allowed to return. Was anybody really fearing that? Is that what you're afraid of? Is that what keeps you up at night? Trump on Twitter? Ugh. Anyway, Musk said last week, however, that those who have been prohibited were unlikely to return. He also quickly cut the Twitter workforce, expected to be reduced. Oh, well, we know he cut a lot of people. All right. Anyway, Kathy Griffin got back online using her dead mother's account. And then, you know, that got banned, too, because she went after Elon Musk again. So I asked the folks. This was the poll question. Comedian Kathy Griffin changed her Twitter name to Elon Musk and mocked him. The account was suspended because it did not say parody. Should it have been suspended? And it was split 50-50. I think it should have been suspended because the rules are you have to say parody, which I think is a good rule. I also think Elon Musk was butthurt. Let's be honest about that. He's like, he's the boss. You can't. I just paid $44 billion for this. You can't do that to me on my platform.
He might have been butthurt about it, but it's like, all right, you're going to nail me. Well, everybody nails, you know, a lot of the celebrities like to nail people. So you want to know something? You want to do it? You can do it as me, but it's got to be a parody account. I agree that if you're going to be somebody, it has to be a parody account because you can defame you. You know, somebody's defaming you as you. You know, at least they had the parody account on there, and they know that it's something else, somebody else and not you.
Now, if he wanted to be a nice and kind overlord, he could have made the rule and go, listen, everybody gets one. Or I'm just announcing this now, so I'm not going to suspend you, Kathy Griffin. But next time you're gone, you got to use parody. Could have done that, but he's a petty man with a rocket ship. So what are you going to do?
Exactly. He could have given a warning shot to her and all the others who did these things, or you know, self-impose the word parody on their accounts or something. But you know, he's petty.
Hey, it's like I always say about these social media things. It's their toy. They can do whatever they want. So listen.
Well, I was just gonna say that because regardless of how you feel, them's the rules now. You know,
yeah.
I don't think it's a bad rule either. You know, and also having him pony up $8. if you want to have the check mark on there. Yeah.
Well, that's gone now too. They're not even doing that anymore because
they're not.
No, because anybody could be verified for $8 a month. I can tell you before, I'm not paying shit for Twitter. I don't like it enough to.
Oh, neither am I. Neither am I.
No.
Neither am I.
No.
I'm not
going to
pay.
No, I don't like.
Not important enough.
I don't enjoy the platform. I really don't enjoy the platform at all, to be honest. It's probably my least favorite platform of the social media ones. But I certainly, but I know people like it, and that has its purpose. All right, so yeah, we all agree. You know, he was within his rights to get rid of her. I don't think he's such a big fan of free speech now that everybody's sinking their fangs into him. I think that kind of went out the window too. But that happens. He's human.
Yeah. This isn't as much fun as I thought it was going to be.
Pretty much.
Well, I don't think it's a thing about free speech where if you want to have free speech, you can. But if you're gonna say it is someone other than yourself, you need to put a parody account on there. It's not curtailing what you want to say. You could say, but don't say it as somebody else. And if you're gonna do, make sure that it's noted as a parody. So
yeah, listen.
That out of mind.
I think it's a good rule. I mean, how many times have you said, why isn't Facebook getting rid of these fake accounts? That's a good rule. It's fine.
Well, you know what? I mean, if somebody was on Twitter and called themselves Davin and started, you know, pining about whatever, you'd be pretty, you know, annoyed. So would I.
No. I would hope they did better with their Twitter account than I have. Shit's not working out for me at all. All right.
You would get involved in a Twitter war with them.
Yeah. Nah, I wouldn't.
You know, but even though there were some accounts like, you know, if Moses tweets, boy, why do the commandments have to be on stone tablets? They're heavy. You know, Moses might have thought that, but you know it's not actually Moses, you know?
Yeah, but if Elvis does it, how can we be sure?
Yeah.
All right. True.
So this is a fun little list I found from BuzzFeed. This is what non-Americans think are found in the typical American home. So we'll run through these. They think that this is what every American person has. A switch that when you flick it turns your sink into a blender. I do not have that. I've always kind of wanted that. I did not realize that was a uniquely American thing.
I didn't know that.
Nor did I.
That's made by, we call that in the biz, an incinerator. It's made by the incinerator company. And basically, it's a garbage disposal. I'm surprised other countries don't have that.
I'm surprised too, but I've never had one.
Every American household has a drawer full of random shit: dead batteries, screws, shoelaces, etc. Guilty, guilty.
Yep. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yep.
You know what else I have in my car, in like the middle glove compartment? I have every gas station receipt from when I got the car.
That's funny.
A bedroom window through which teenagers come and go at night. I guess they got that from sitcoms. Don't have that. Too high up.
Don't have that. No. Yeah, no. By the way, would it even be possible for your youngster
to get out?
Get out the window.
I mean, well, she's on the second floor. She'll probably fall.
You know, I know she's on the second floor, but I mean, like, you should, as a dad, just stand out there and see. What would be the way to get out?
She'd land in bushes. It would not work out well. And I'd be pissed off because she would ruin our designer gutters.
Yeah.
A fridge with an ice dispenser built into it. I had no idea that was an American thing. But yeah, I got one of them.
I had one at the old house. And the fridge, I had to leave the fridge at the old house. The refrigerator I have here has the old fashioned the tray and stuff like that. I miss the ice maker. Even though the damn thing, sometimes Joanne would use it. It was like she was on the front deck of the Titanic. Ice would come flying out all over the place.
I love it. We have one, but I disabled it because they're gross. They never get cleaned. Ew.
It's better than the ice tray where it like picks up the flavor of the frozen flounder.
I know. We don't actually use ice a lot. If I ever want to use ice, I have these plastic sticks with like a fluid inside that gets cold. So you just put the stick in your drink if that's what you want, but we don't use ice a lot.
I think Kiss had a song about it. It was called Cold Jizz. I believe that was the song. It's Cold Jizz time again.
We did, Space Odyssey, we used to cover that tune.
Cold Jizz?
Actually, it's on a Facebook page. We go on my Facebook page after the show. I posted us doing that song.
Well, people...
Is that literally what it's called?
Cold Jizz, sure.
Cold Jizz.
Holy crap! Ew!
No, the song is Cold Gin, not Cold Jizz.
Yeah, I know, but what is that supposed to mean? Dead guy? What does that mean?
I don't know. Oh, well, I'll be seeing Ace Frehley tomorrow night. I'll ask him on your behalf.
Ah!
A mounted bass that sings songs. No, that's only American white trash. Never had that.
Ugh, no.
Yeah, no.
A microwave with a special popcorn setting. Yes, and it's really not that good.
I think I have a popcorn setting on there. I never use it. I never make popcorn. But yeah, it's on there.
I have
an old microwave. It doesn't have it.
I did not realize that. I have an old microwave, too. You just have a shitty microwave.
Yeah, probably.
A sofa that faces a studio audience. Huddle a huddle a hoo.
Yeah.
The type of washing machines where you put everything in the top. This fascinated me when we visited the States. They're huge. Again, I did not realize that was an American thing.
I don't know. It's an American thing. Also, I have I have a front loader dryer and a front loader washing machine, which kind of was one of the things why I wanted the house, because it came with the house, and I love them. And I used to have the top loaders at the old place. I never liked it. I love the front loaders. They're more expensive, too.
Well, I think the top loaders hold more. I think that's what it is.
Really?
I have a mix and match.
What do you mean?
Well, the washing machine is top-loaded, and the dryer is front-loaded.
Yes, I have that, too. I think all dryers are side-loaded. Drywall.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Drywall. Lots of drywall. Again, did not know that was an American thing, but yeah. I mean, I guess we don't all build it with brick.
Yeah,
but
I guess.
For walls?
Wood. In some countries, at least the older homes, they used all kinds of other things like plaster and stone. So they're like, just wood and dry drywall.
And the houses here apparently are much larger. Years ago, yes. Joanne had relatives from Italy come by. And they stopped by our house. We had a party at our house. And they stopped by, and they're walking around our house taking pictures. And I grabbed Joanne and go, why are you taking pictures? She goes, you don't understand. Houses aren't this big in Italy. They haven't been in houses this big, so they're taking pictures of it to show people back home how big the houses are here. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Tell them the mortgage, too. They have more expensive the taxes are here.
Well, they have high tax. They do have high taxes in Europe. Large quantities of over-the-counter drugs in a huge bottle. Don't really think I got a ton of that lying around. Maybe I do.
Really, not me either.
I don't know.
Not I.
Over-the-counter drugs. Well, this is vitamins.
That counts.
No, I don't have big bottles of drugs.
Like ibuprofen and shit like that.
Like small prescription things, but
that's different.
Like ibuprofen, like. But big bottles,
yes.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah.
We do love our ibuprofen in the Helix house.
A plastic bag filled with plastic bags. Guilty.
Guilty.
Yes. Guilty.
All closet and shelf over the washer dryer.
You know what's interesting? Plastic bags are worth now more than cryptocurrency. So I recommend holding on to it.
They are.
Peanut butter. It's available where I live, but it's not something everyone would have in the cupboard. I associate PB&J Sammy as part of the U.S. culture as well as grilled cheese. Guilty. Always. My whole life. Always had peanut butter in the house.
I haven't until recently. I had to, I switched my diet around to diabetes, so I have to eat a lot of, things with a lot of protein, and peanut butter has a lot less carbs. So what I do is I make myself an English muffin that has 19 carbs, and I put the peanut butter on there, and it's a low-carb breakfast. So, yeah, I have it now.
Individual cans or bottles of soft drinks. Yes, right now, usually I don't. But a lot of people do.
supposed to put the shit in?
Big bottles, like 2-liter bottles, 1-liter bottles.
Oh, yeah. We have half and half. Sometimes it's just like, you know, you just want a little bit of one kind of soda, so you get like a can or two. Like, you know, if we order Chinese food, for some reason, I really like having orange soda with Chinese food. I don't know why.
Well, it's authentic. It's authentic that way. Yeah.
When they were whipping it up during the Ming Dynasty, they were also having orange Fanta.
I don't know why. So, like, you might have, like, a random can of ginger ale or Coke, and then we'll have, like, a big bottle of something. Yeah.
Every American has a mountain of pillows on their bed. One of our two of the beds in the house do have a mountain of pillows. This is definitely an American thing. Because you got the sleeping pillows, then you got the throw pillows, then you got the duvet, and the this, the that. It's fakakta. You shouldn't have to go excavating when you want to go to bed. It's ridiculous.
Well, in my house, I have the pillows. I have the three sleeping pillows, and then I just have one decorative pillow. But sometimes when you go on the road and you go to a fancier hotel, you go in, it's like, what are all these fucking pillows? And then when you go to sleep, you make a little house of pillows. It's just comfy cozy. I get it now. I got to tell you, I have a fleece cover on my bed, and then I have a fleece blanket. It is like the most comfortable thing in the world. Yeah, exactly.
I have to tell you, we have a fleece blanket on the edge of the bed, and my cat humps the shit out of it.
That's also comfortable.
Well, he just goes. Now, he doesn't have balls. Oh, he does have balls, but they've been taken. The stuff inside has been taken out. But he's just like, he likes to knead. He's got the front paws going. He's got the back paws going. And I'll tell you another thing. He cheats on that pillow. Well, I mean, he cheats on that fleece blanket with the fleece blanket that's in the guest room. Because the other day I walked in, and he was going to town on that one, too. My cat's a whore.
Two-timer!
Nacho is not loyal.
My cat Woody, used to have a favorite blanket that I called his girlfriend. And after a while, I finally, you know, it needed to go into the wash. But the dryer that I had, it was an older blanket that my parents had since God knows when, and it sucked all of the fibers out of the blanket. It stuffed them into the lid catcher. The vent was stuffed, and it got overheated in there, and I just happened to go, I lived in an apartment then, and the dryer was in the kitchen. I just happened to go in there, and I could feel the heat coming off of it. I touched the dryer, and I was like, holy crap! And so I got in there, and I got all this fluff out of it. I mean, I was really close to having a dryer fire, but it was so hot in there that the stuff that was like synthetic, it melted the blanket and it like pressed to itself. The blanket was crunchy in spots. So I killed his girlfriend. Poor Woody.
Well, if you just would have given him a couple, if you would have just given him a couple more weeks, it would have been crunchy without you putting it in the dryer.
Oh yeah, he probably jumped on that thing and his balls got tangled into it. And like, what the hell is this?
He probably scratched up his balls because it was all hard and matted down. You ruined it. You killed her. Anyway.
I killed his girlfriend. I got him a different blanket, and it was really, really soft. And I thought, I'm in the store thinking to myself, is this humpable?
If it can keep a secret.
I'm a good cat, Mom, and I care.
If it can keep a secret, it is. Anyway. A gallon of milk in the refrigerator multiplied by the number of teenage boys in the house. Can't relate. Not applicable.
Yeah, no.
No.
Ranch dressing. Guilty. We have the ranch.
Guilty.
I just bought a bottle of ranch for the first time.
Guilty.
So now I'm guilty.
One of those giant containers of orange ball snack food. Very, very seldom we did have one. We don't currently. Very, very rare. Not a staple in the house.
No. We never have those.
Five sticks of butter minimum. Guilty.
Yeah, well, four. more because it comes in a package of four sticks.
Yeah, but then you buy more.
No, not me. I get the margarine. I get the, don't bullshit me, this isn't butter, margarine.
I get the real butter, but particularly if I'm going to go on a baking spree, God, a lot of recipes use a lot of butter. So you might have more than that box. So yes, I'm guilty.
I bought margarine by accident because when I was at Weight Watchers, they tell you never buy margarine. Always get butter. And you know, well, why is that? Well, you know what? Put margarine on hot food; it doesn't melt. Yeah, put butter; it melts. You know, it's like margarine is not good. It's got all chemicals. That's why the shit doesn't melt that well.
Yeah.
A dusty jar filled with coins, mostly pennies, and ask them why, because the replies are always humorous. Now, I have never had that jar, but in my old house next to my bed, I did have one of those slot machine cups from Trump Taj Mahal that was like filled with that and was like cracked and everything. But yeah, I just threw my change in that. That's the closest I have to it.
I got two locations for that. Two locations in the house.
I used to have a jar, and then 1 year Dunkin' Donuts had this glass pumpkin that they gave out for you to put your Dunkin' Munchkins in as a display, but I always used the pumpkin to put spare change in, but I've lost the lid, so now it just looks like a headless pumpkin.
I tell you, that stuff adds up. I had a plastic, I still have it, a big plastic coffee container. That I fill to the top, and I bring it to the bench. There's $170 in there.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Nice.
Let's see. At least one cabinet dedicated to Halloween decorations. Yes, unfortunately.
Oh, hell yeah.
thanks to Joe's girl, yeah.
Really? Oh, what a development this is. She can't decorate her own house? She has to decorate yours?
She decorates mine.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But she has a home. So she's decorating two houses?
Oh, yeah, she's going to go nuts, but there is a container with Halloween shit in it.
Nice.
Let's see. Multiple packets of sliced fake cheese in the fridge. No, don't have the fake cheese.
Depends if Stop & Shop's having a sale.
We have the American cheese, but multiple packets? No.
Yeah, the girls are not a fan of the fake cheese. So I had some of it as a kid.
I buy sliced cheese and, like, you know, sharp cheddar or the pepper jack, and we use that. So, but it's not like the wrapped fake American fakey.
Yeah, they don't have American cheese in other countries.
No.
Usually I like to get the regular sliced stuff. But if I'm going to the dairy aisle, I see 2 for $5. I'm snapping it up.
Yep.
So many sauces, an entire refrigerator's door filled with sauces. Guilty. We got a lot of sauces going here.
So guilty!
I even got some sauces that were bought just to make Joe sick. I think I still have fish sauce rolling around in there.
Oh, God. Toss that.
Nah. Joe might want to lose weight real quick again in a stupid way. You never know when that's going to come in handy.
I have so many sauces because one of my cooking staples, because I'm not a great cook, is chicken three-way, which I get like a pack of chicken breasts and I'll put three different sauces on them so that we have a little variety.
You know what's surprising that they didn't put on here? A drawer or a bag full of sauces, like packets of sauces from restaurants, like ketchup, mustard, soy sauce, because that's something we all have too.
Yeah.
I would think that would probably be part of that. I mean, because basically my drawer, I have all the different condiments, and then there's a covered drawer I have on the top that has all the soy sauce and the mustard packets that you get from the Chinese place.
Yeah, but the packets in my mind are a different category than the drawer of sauces.
Probably saw somebody have their collection on the door because that's where we keep our collection of those sauces.
The ominous sliced white bread. Generally do not have that in this house. I like it. The girls are not fans.
No. Generally not.
Eggs inside the fridge. Yes, because when you buy the supermarket eggs, and I just learned this, my wife just told me, they have to put like chemicals on the shells to make them last longer. When you get like fresh eggs, you don't put them in the fridge. But we all get ours at the supermarket. I didn't know this.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. I have a friend who lives out in East Ishkabibble in Pennsylvania, and they have chickens in the backyard, and they had cartons with eggs on the counter. And I was like, what you doing? And they're that's where we keep them.
Yeah, up at my nephew Matt's farm. You know, if the hens have been laying, my nephew's girlfriend May will give me and Doug, our family friend, a couple of dozen eggs to bring back. Farm fresh, you know.
Lovely.
No, I've never had a farm fresh egg that I'm aware of. So I instructed my wife to get me some because supposedly they're much better.
Yeah, they're nice. Yeah, they're really good.
Straight out of the chicken's veg.
You know, it's good. Really, really quick. Unpasteurized milk, because when I was going to the farm as a kid, my brother would have unpasteurized milk, which was, and I hated milk, but that was delicious because the pasteurized,
really?
You know, you cook all the taste out of it. Really good.
Wow. I didn't know that.
A ton of those red disposable beer cups. No, because I'm an adult. I don't have them.
Sorry. You know what, though? I have them, but not because I'm having a chug party. I have it if I'm going to have a Coke. It's nice. You know, I have to wash a glass. Get them at the dollar store. They're $1.25 for a pack of, 15. You know, so, yeah, they're handy dinner. I have to waste time, you know, cleaning glasses.
No, we don't keep this around.
A second garage fridge filled with beer and frozen boxes of crap from Costco. Do have a second fridge. Don't belong to Costco. It's not filled with beer. But I do have a second fridge, you know, filled with stuff.
Yeah, no. We used to have one at my old house growing up. We used to have my dad bought a freezer, and we used it for years and years and years for extra stuff. And then when it was just me and then Joanne, I didn't use it that much. Then it started going in the fridge, and then I got rid of it. But I had the freezer in the basement.
Yeah, our house came with a freezer in the basement, and it's handy because our regular fridge is a side by side, and some stuff is too big to fit in there. So, like, and also when we get like a free turkey from the supermarket at Thanksgiving for having spent so much damn money there, the turkey can go in there, the big wide stuff. And if they're having a sale on some particular frozen thing, it's really handy to have some place to put all that crap.
All right. So there you go. There is the list. Let's take our final break. We'll come back with some scamming scammers on the break. We got new music from the Cathodes with In From the Cold and True Lies with Landmine. You can learn more about both those artists.